Hey y'all, hey, Dr. O here for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. Thank y'all for joining me again this week while I'm here with the one, the only, the Mr. Tayshaun. He's giving his own sound effects. Love it, love it, love it. So he, Mr. Tayshaun, we're going to get on into it. And he is a singer. He is a dancer, songwriter, videographer, developer, engineer, entrepreneur, and a wonderful man of. Hello, my name is Dr. Bertrina Olivia West Almaty, and you are watching Dr. O After Dark. Hey y'all, hey, Dr. O here for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. Thank y'all for joining me again this week while I'm here with the one, the only, the Mr. Tayshaun. He's giving his own sound effects. Love it, love it, love it. So he, Mr. Tayshaun, we're going to get on into it. And he is a singer. He is a dancer, songwriter, videographer, developer, engineer, entrepreneur, and a wonderful man of God. How about that? Because we got it all in there. So we just go ahead and just say how blessed and highly flavored. Favored.
Flavored, it's okay.
And flavored. He got that flavor. So let's go on and get on into it. How you doing, Tayshaun?
I'm so blessed. I can definitely say that. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight on Dr. O After Dark.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. I'm honored.
All right, so let's get on into it. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you got going on.
I have a lot going on around the board since I do a lot. But I'll say currently I'm just mainly developing a lot of not only artists, but like creative directors, other entrepreneurs and stuff like that, so that we can really work together as a whole.
Okay.
Because a lot of stuff be going on and be a lot for self. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things I've been kind of putting together is just bringing a lot of other companies and other developers and stuff like that so that way we can really help the community.
Flavored, it's okay.
And flavored. He got that flavor. So let's go ahead and get on into it. How you doing, Tayshaun?
I'm so blessed. I can definitely say that. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining us here tonight on Dr. O After Dark.
Oh, I'm honored to be here. I'm honored.
All right, so let's get on into it. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you got going on.
I have a lot going on around the board since I do a lot. But I'll say currently, I'm just mainly developing a lot of not only artists, but like creative directors, other entrepreneurs and stuff like that, so that we can really work together as a whole.
Okay.
Because a lot of stuff be going on and be a lot for self. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things I've been kind of putting together is just bringing a lot of other companies and other developers and stuff like that, so that way we can really help the community.
Okay, so what type of companies and other entrepreneurs, businesses and things like that do you work with and do you develop?
Well, right now I work with one creative director. He has a company called Lotus Rosary. So I've been working with him for years, and now he's partnered with Cam Kirk. He's done stuff with Adidas, Nike and stuff like that. So that's one.
Okay.
Right now I'm rebranding a lot of old legends like Roscoe Dash and Michael Montana and stuff like that. So really just bringing a lot of new feel. No, a lot of the old field to the new heads of Atlanta.
Okay, okay. Now, are you from Atlanta?
I'm not, but I can say I've been here long enough to sound from here.
Okay, how long you been here?
I've been here for over 10 years.
Okay. Okay, that's not long enough. Yeah, right. It's still, 10 years is still, you know, go to Atlanta, they ain't claiming you.
You can ask a few people. Ask the ones who are important, I'll say.
Oh, okay, maybe the one, because what was that lady, what's that lady's name? That ain't Atlanta, whatever.
Oh, Amaretta?
Yeah.
Well, right now I work with one creative director. He has a company called Lotus Rosary. So I've been working with him for years, and now he's partnered with Cam Kirk. He's done stuff with Adidas, Nike and stuff like that. So that's one.
Okay.
Right now I'm rebranding a lot of old legends like Roscoe Dash and Michael Montana and stuff like that. So really just bringing a lot of new feel, you know, a lot of the old feel to the new heads of Atlanta.
Okay. Now, are you from Atlanta?
I'm not, but I can say I've been here long enough to sound from here.
Okay, how long you been here?
I've been here for over 10 years.
Okay, that's not long enough. Yeah, right. It's still, 10 years is still, you know, go to Atlanta, they ain't claiming you.
You can ask a few people. Ask the ones who are important, I'll say.
Oh, okay, maybe the one, because what was that lady, what's that lady's name? That ain't Atlanta, whatever.
Oh, Amaretta?
Yeah, the name after the drink, Amaretta Sour. You know, she'll tell you quick.
Man,
10 years, you ain't from Atlanta.
Look, well, a lot of parts you say ain't from Atlanta I've been in too, so I really don't get it, I don't know.
That ain't Atlanta proper.
Right.
That ain't Atlanta proper. Shout out to Duluth.
Yeah.
So where are you, prior to 10 years moving here in Atlanta, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from New York, Brooklyn.
Okay.
For sure.
Brooklyn, New York. All right, born, raised, went to PS 187.
Yeah. I came down here to go to performing arts school.
Okay.
So shouts out to Tri-Cities, you know.
All right, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what did you do in performing arts school?
That's where I kind of learned everything about myself on a creative scale. Because back then I can sing real good and write real good. When I moved down here, I did a lot of the drug free contests in middle school, and then I ended up on a Ryan Cameron morning show. And then once I got into performing arts school, I did The Color Purple with Tyler Perry.
Okay.
So he picked the school in the world.
From Atlanta?
Look, well, a lot of parts you say ain't from Atlanta I've been in too, so I really don't get it. I don't know.
That ain't Atlanta proper.
Right.
That ain't Atlanta proper. Shout out to Duluth.
Yeah.
So where are you, prior to 10 years moving here in Atlanta, where are you originally from?
I'm originally from New York, Brooklyn.
Okay.
For sure.
Brooklyn, New York. All right. Born, raised, went to PS 187.
Yeah. I came down here to go to performing arts school.
Okay.
So shouts out to Tri-Cities, you know.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what did you do in performing arts school?
That's where I kind of learned everything about myself on a creative scale. Because back then I can sing real good and write real good. When I moved down here, I did a lot of the drug free contests in middle school, and then I ended up on a Ryan Cameron morning show. And then once I got into performing arts school, I did The Color Purple with Tyler Perry.
Okay.
So he picked a school in the world to do a musical with, and he chose Tri-Cities. I was gonna either be Harpo, but instead I chose to be a part of the tech. So I worked on the boards, changed out lights, built the sets and stuff like that. So that kind of formed me on what I do now. Like I got 3 studios in 3 different states. I build them myself.
Oh, nice.
So a lot of things we pretty much do, we're very hands-on, a lot of DIYs.
Okay, so what states are your studios located in?
We got it here, we got it in Cali, and we got it in Dallas, Texas.
Okay, all right, where I was born. What part of Cali?
Santa Monica.
Okay, all right, shout out to Santa Monica. Okay, all right. So what do you produce and who do you support in your studios? Like, who can come to your studios?
It's a wide variety, only because, like, since I do a lot, you know, I definitely don't want to make a box for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say a wide variety from what you do in country, pop, EDM. I'm Liberian, so we specialize in Afro as well. So,
okay.
So we do a lot of variety of what we can do. Just Harpo, but instead I chose to be a part of the tech, so I could worked on the boards, changed out lights, built the sets and stuff like that. So that kind of formed me on what I do now. Like I got 3 studios in 3 different states. I build them myself.
Oh, nice.
So a lot of things we pretty much do, we're very hands-on, a lot of DIYs.
Okay, so what states are your studios located in?
We got it here, we got it in Cali, and we got it in Dallas, Texas.
Okay, all right, where I was born. What part of Cali?
Santa Monica.
Okay, all right, shout out to Santa Monica. Okay, all right. So what do you produce in your, and who do you support in your studios? Like who can come to your studios?
It's a wide variety only because like since I do a lot, you know, I definitely don't want to make a box for certain people.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say a wide variety from whether you do in country, pop, EDM, I'm Liberian, so we specialize in Afro as well. So,
okay.
So we do a lot of variety of what we can do just on a big scale. So that way, even independent artists can compete with people who are part of labels. So that way you have the quality, you know, the sound, the look, everything can still work for you in your favor without you paying so much money that the labels are kind of chipping out or you have to pay them or whatever the case.
Okay. All right. So originally, well, from your Liberian.
Mm-hmm.
And from or raised in Brooklyn. What about your parents? Were they from the States or did they come from Liberia?
Oh, my dad's from here. My dad's from the west side of Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure. My mom is from Liberia. She's from Monrovia.
Okay, okay. And what is, are you technically, some not from your dad's side, but from your mom's side, first generation or was she?
First gen.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about that dynamics growing up. Did you grow up with both your mom and your dad?
Yeah.
So in Brooklyn, a Liberian mother and an ATLian.
Yeah.
Ooh, in Brooklyn.
Ooh, boy. Yeah, that's a different ball game. It's like a variety of the kind of the look, everything can still work for you in your favor without you paying so much money that the labels got kind of chipping out or you have to pay them or whatever the case.
Okay, all right. So originally, well, from your Liberian.
Mm-hmm.
And from or raised in Brooklyn. What about your parents? Were they from the States or did they come from Liberia?
Oh, my dad's from here. My dad's from the west side of Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for sure. My mom is from Liberia. She's from Monrovia.
Okay, okay. And what is, are you technically, some not from your dad's side, but from your mom's side, first generation or was she?
First gen.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about that dynamics growing up. Did you grow up with both your mom and your dad?
Yeah.
So in Brooklyn, a Liberian mother and an ATLian.
Yeah.
Ooh, in Brooklyn.
Ooh, boy. Yeah, that's a different ball game. It's like a variety of the Cosbys, Family Matters. You feel me? You get the strict side, but you also get the calm side. So it's like coming from my mom is very stern. She's the reason I know how to do everything. It's just like if I say, hey, I know how to sing, she's like, well, you know, this person writes songs for this person, they became this artist. Start writing, and then she's like, oh, well, you know, this person was dancing. I started doing all forms of dance, tap, jazz, ballet. It's just, and then my dad, he's like, hey, you know, just make sure that, you know, you're not in a space where you feel like you're overworking yourself, whether it's for somebody or yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always kept me on that business entrepreneur mindset because he's owned like car washes. He owns daycares now.
Wow.
He's gotten to real estate. So I've watched him own all these things and really just kind of build my own self just as far as a business standpoint.
Okay.
So like I've always made my own money since I was a kid. I've never even asked my parents for money in my life. Like you can ask them, literally. Like I find a way. Like when I was a kid, I was third grade. I cut everybody's grass in the neighborhood. Next thing you know, I got my own phone. And next thing you know, I'm getting phone calls to go cut some grass somewhere else. So it's like trick side, but you also get the calm side. So it's like coming from my mom is very stern. She's the reason I know how to do everything. It's just like if I say, hey, I know how to sing, she's like, well, you know, this person writes songs for this person, they became this artist and start writing, and then she's like, oh, well, you know, this person was dancing. I started doing all forms of dance, tap, jazz, ballet. It's just, and then my dad, he's like, hey, you know, just make sure that, you know, you're not in a space where you feel like you're overworking yourself, whether it's for somebody or yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always kept me on that business entrepreneur mindset because he's owned like car washes, he owns daycares now. Wow. He's gotten to real estate. So I've watched him own all these things and really just kind of build my own self just as far as a business standpoint.
Okay.
So like I've always made my own money since I was a kid. I've never even asked my parents for money in my life. Like you can ask them, literally. Like I find a way. Like when I was a kid, I was third grade. I cut everybody's grass in the neighborhood. Next thing you know, I got my own phone. And next thing you know, I'm getting phone calls to go cut some grass somewhere else. So it's like I started selling candy in school. Next thing you know, I got 3-4 friends who got bags of candy. I can just have them sell it. It was a lot. Like, some of the ladies make money.
Shout out to mom and dad. I need you and y'all to come and talk to my two. Elijah and Sadaya, you hear? He and ask parents for no money.
Yeah, I can say, but look, you just gotta have it in the mindset, because mind you, I still got 12 siblings and all of them didn't come out the way I did.
Ooh.
You feel me? So.
You're one of 13?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So all of them are.
Tell us about that. Let's talk about that. Now, where do you fall in the birth order?
The middle. Number 7. Oldest of the youngest and the youngest of the oldest.
Oh, my. Okay. So that now. Same mom, same dad with all of them, or different?
On my mom, my dad has a 13.
Okay.
So on top of the 13, he's also took in kids that weren't, like, you know, even that he spit out. So if we add them, it's like 17 of us. You feel me? But like, you know, I still call them my brother or my sister and stuff like that. You know, it never changed. But like, I'm the oldest on my mom's side, her only son, along with my two sisters, and then my dad got the whole.
Shout out to mom and dad. I need you and y'all to come and talk to my two Elijah and Sadaya, you hear? He and ask parents for no money.
Yeah, I can say, but look, you just gotta have it in the mindset, because mind you, I still got 12 siblings and all of them didn't come out the way I did.
Ooh.
You feel me? So.
You're one of 13?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So all of them are.
Tell us about that. Let's talk about that. Now, where do you fall in the birth order?
The middle. Number 7. Oldest of the youngest and the youngest of the oldest.
Oh, so that now, same mom, same dad with all of them, or different?
On my mom, my dad has a 13.
Okay.
So on top of the 13, he's also took in kids that weren't, like, you know, even that he spit out. So if we add them, it's like 17 of us. You feel me? But like, you know, I still call them my brother or my sister and stuff like that. You know, it never changed. But like, I'm the oldest on my mom's side, her only son, along with my two sisters. And then my dad got the whole Brady Bunch going on.
Shout out to dad and 13. You know, I was thinking it. It was here. It was here, but you know.
It's a different ball game, only because since it's so many of us, I can say it helps me because I deal with different personalities and it helps me with life.
Okay.
So it's like I was a shy kid back then. So like having all of them, it really helped me kind of open up and kind of know different personalities on how to deal with people.
Because,
you know, some people are very aggressive, some people are very shy, some people are self-centered. So it's like, I deal with a lot, especially in the music area, to where, you know, some people feel important than others. So it's like, you have to find a way to maneuver to really let people see for themselves, so.
Now, how many of your siblings were you raised with?
All of them.
Okay, so what was that, as you said, you were different. Mm-hmm. Then, so all of them was raised in your same household?
Yeah, all of us was raised in the same household for a good amount of years. And then once we started separating, we all linked up every weekend. So it was even on school breaks and stuff like that.
You know, I was thinking it. It was here. It was here, but you know.
it's a different ball game, only because since it's so many of us, I can say it helps me because I deal with different personalities and it helps me with life.
Okay.
So it's like, I was a shy kid back then. So like having all of them, it really helped me kind of open up and kind of know different personalities on how to deal with people.
Because,
you know, some people are very aggressive, some people are very shy, some people are self-centered. So it's like, I deal with a lot, especially in the music area, to where, you know, some people feel important than others. So it's like you have to find a way to maneuver to really let people see for themselves. So
now, how many of your siblings were you raised with?
All of them.
Okay. So what was that? As you said, you were different. Then, so all of them was raised in your same household?
Yeah, all of us was raised in the same household for a good amount of years. And then once we started separating, we all linked up every weekend. So it was even on school breaks and stuff like that. So I was always with my siblings. Even to this day, we still got group chats. We still converse and still talk and stuff like that. So
being directly in the middle, where do you feel like you experience the middle child syndrome?
Because
that's a lot of them, I'm sure. I mean,
personally, I can say yes, but the outside looking in, they feel as if my parents pour into me financially. So it's like for them to think they're pouring into me financially, they feel it's a whole different perspective. I was like, they feel like the clothes I might have on right now is something that, you know, is paid for versus me go working for it.
Yeah.
So they feel like a lot of things were kind of given to me when all in reality, like my dad said, he's like, out of all y'all, even though some of y'all went to prison and stuff like that, he said he's had it the hardest. So it's because, like, I didn't stay with my parents all my life. You feel me? So I was staying with my grandmother raised me, God rest her soul. She raised me, and then I was staying in Minnesota with my aunts. So, like, I didn't really get with my parents for real until, like, I moved down here. So I was around, like, 8-9 years old.
Okay.
Converse and still talk and stuff like that, so.
So being directly in the middle, where do you feel like you experience the middle child syndrome?
Because
that's a lot of them, I'm sure we're all, I mean.
Personally, I can say yes, but the outside looking in, they feel as if my parents pour into me financially. So it's like for them to think they're pouring into me financially, they feel it's a whole different perspective. I was like, they feel like the clothes I might have on right now is something that, you know, is paid for versus me go working for it.
Yeah.
So they feel like a lot of things were kind of given to me when all in reality, like my dad said, he's like, out of all y'all, even though some of y'all went to prison and stuff like that, he said he's had it the hardest. So it's because, like, I didn't stay with my parents all my life, you feel me? So I was staying with my grandmother raised me, God rest her soul. She raised me, and then I was staying in Minnesota with my aunts. So, like, I didn't really get with my parents for real until, like, I moved down here. So I was around, like, 8-9 years old.
Okay. So, is when you moved out here?
Yeah, like that's when I was kind of back and forth, and I stayed here completely. So,
okay. You were youngin'. Wait a minute, I'm doing the math. You said you've been here about 10 years and you got here when you were like 8-9 years old. So some math, the math ain't mathing.
I said over 10 years.
Yeah, you said over 10 years. Yes, yeah, okay, let's like, go
like,
over.
Like
over.
Around like, I'll say 11, 12, like I stopped the whole back and forth of going to another state to go to school or whatever case like that. So once I was stationed here, that's when everything kind of got real.
I was sitting here like 8, 10, that's 18. You only 18? You did all this 18? Okay, it's over. Add about another 19 on that. Okay. All right. So what was the dynamics that created for you to be living with your grandmother and your aunt?
Well, my dad was down here. My mom, don't get mad at me if she ever watches this.
Mom's watching, but you know, blame me. So, okay. So you were youngin'. Wait a minute, I'm doing the math. You said you've been here about 10 years and you got here when you were like 8-9 years old. So some math, the math ain't mathing.
I said over 10 years.
Yeah, you said over 10 years. Yes, yeah, okay, let's go over.
Around, like, I'll say 11, 12, like, I stopped the whole back and forth of going to another state to go to school or whatever case like that. So once I was stationed here, that's when everything kind of got real.
I was sitting here like, 8, 10, that's 18. You only 18? You did all this 18? Okay, it's over. Add about another 19 on that. Okay, all right. So what was the dynamics that created for you to be living with your grandmother and your aunt?
Well, my dad was down here. My mom, don't get mad at me if she ever watches this.
Mom's watching, but you know, blame me.
Yeah, my mom was in prison for some years. So it's like, and I didn't even know. So I found out when I went to see her. So I found out when I was 6.
Oh, wow.
So when I found out that having that dynamic and going to Minnesota to having that mindset of where my mom is.
Okay.
Like, so I had to really kind of, I learned a lot with myself. I've mastered, you know, being alone and learning how to really learn myself and not letting nobody else determine, you know, anything else when you're dealing with me, I'll say.
How did you master being alone?
You know, a lot of times, like, you grow to probably, like you said, probably have abandonment issues or just certain anxieties to where, like, you don't want to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, just over the years, like, you know, music saved my life.
Okay.
To a point where, like, you know, I was writing songs and just singing and always being in my element, being happy and dancing and stuff like that. So I've never had that feeling of being alone or just having that abandonment to where, like, oh, this is going on. But it's not to where I'll probably be mad at myself or put myself in a certain, like, for some years. So it's like, and I didn't even know. So I found out when I was here. So I found out when I was 6.
Oh, wow.
So when I found out having that dynamic and going to Minnesota to having that mindset of where my mom is.
Okay.
Like, so I had to really kind of, I learned a lot with myself. I've mastered, you know, being alone and learning how to really learn myself and not letting nobody else determine, you know, anything else when you're dealing with me, I'll say.
How did you master being alone?
You know, a lot of times, like, you grow to probably, like you said, probably have abandonment issues or just certain anxieties to where, like, you don't want to be by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, like, just over the years, like, you know, music saved my life.
Okay.
To a point where, like, you know, I was writing songs and just singing and always being in my element, being happy and dancing and stuff like that. So I've never had that feeling of being alone or just having that abandonment to where, like, oh, this is going on. But it's not to where I'll probably be mad at myself or put myself in a certain depression state or, like, blaming myself for something I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned that just along the years. Like, once I reached, like, probably the age of, when I moved down here, like, 19, I kind of got the understanding of, like, you know, my dad wasn't around all the time. I can't be mad at that. But my siblings now are mad at that. You feel me? Like, it has grown to be a problem.
Okay.
So that's why I was like, for me to not even be around my parents or experience certain things, I look at it now, oh, I really did this well because he's upset and he's throwing stuff and being upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, like, I could have been more mad than you. You feel me? Sometimes some people have a right to probably be more mad than you are. So that's what I also learned. Really just learning my blessings. Like, I've learned my blessing. Like, even though I'm here, hey, it could be a lot. I really took this well because he's upset and he's throwing stuff and being upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, hey, like, I could have been more mad than you. You feel me? Sometimes some people have a right to probably be more mad than you are. So that's what I also learned. Really just learning my blessings. Like, I've learned my blessing. Like, even though I'm here, hey, it could be a lot worse. My friends from Liberia, a lot of them don't have food to eat or have certain, you know, environments or have certain opportunities. So that's why I'm taking it back home, to where I can, you know, make my money, do what I gotta do, take it back there and give everybody else the opportunity, you know, who don't have a family at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot of things I take heed on and looking from past experience. And mind you, when you're having a lot of siblings, all of us, a few of us have different moms.
Yeah.
A lot of them have different households, different situations.
How they were raised, different values, different things of that
mm-hmm.
nature. How old were you when, do you know how old you were when your mom went to prison? Or how old were you when, okay. So when did you start living with your grandmother and your aunt?
I was staying with my grandmother since I was, my grandmother, I was with her from like four to about six. I was with my dad, and I came back to New York for a little second, and then later down the road, that's when I was 8, I moved completely because that's when I lost one of my best friends. So around that time, he took 3 bullets for me. So that was one of the reasons why.
This is when you was 8?
I was 8. So being 8 years old and watching somebody take your life for their own self.
Yeah.
A lot of them have different households, different situations.
How they were raised, different values, different things of that
mm-hmm.
nature. How old were you when, do you know how old you were when your mom went to prison? Or how old were you when, okay. So when did you start living with your grandmother and your aunt?
I was staying with my grandmother since I was, my grandmother, I was with her from like four to about six.
Okay.
Yeah, four to about six. I was with my dad, and I came back to New York for a little second, and then later down the road, that's when I was eight, I moved completely because that's when I lost one of my best friends. So around that time, he took three bullets for me. So that was one of the reasons why.
This is when you was eight?
I was eight. So being 8 years old and watching somebody take your life for their own self, it was a lot. So on top of my mom kind of being in my ear, like, everybody ain't your friend. I'm like, you don't know what happened to my life.
How old was your best friend?
He was the same age.
He was the same age?
He was the same age.
Wow.
But one thing with me, and even just to this day, is like, you know, it's just, everybody has their own side as far as like, you know, being a game banger or, you know, just doing what they want with their own life.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of in that vibe.
At 8 years old, he was in the street life.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Because it's in New York, it's like, it's you banging, yeah, playing basketball, or your mom got your hand. Like,
wow.
One of the three.
Wow.
So at the end of the day, it's like for me to have the life that I've had, you know, mm-hmm, I've grown a lot, I've seen a lot. So it's like when a lot of things happen now, I'd be kind of, oh, okay. I know how to handle this situation. So a lot of times people feel like I might be older or like just been here for so long. But it's like, you know, I've experienced life at a young age,
mm-hmm,
you know? So a lot of times I've taken heed to what I've been.
Your best friend.
He was the same age.
He was the same age.
He was the same age.
Wow.
But one thing with me, and even just to this day, it's like, you know, it's just, everybody has their own side as far as like, you know, being a game banger or, you know, just doing what they want with their own life.
Mm-hmm.
So he was kind of in that vibe.
At 8 years old, he was in the street life.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Because it's in New York, it's like, it's you banging, yeah, playing basketball, or your mom got your hand. Like,
wow.
One of the three.
Wow.
So at the end of the day, it's like for me to have the life that I've had, you know, mm-hmm, I've grown a lot, I've seen a lot. So it's like when a lot of things happen now, I'd be kind of, oh, okay. I know how to handle this situation. So a lot of times people feel like I might be older or like just been here for so long. But it's like, you know, I've experienced life at a young age,
mm-hmm,
you know? So a lot of times I've taken heed to what I've experienced versus dwelling on it.
So how are you maybe like impacted by those things? Maybe now, are those things that you, as you say, you dwell on or you think about, or are there things that you've, it seems like there's coping mechanisms that you've naturally learned. Mm-hmm. Music as an outlet, knowing that or building up and feeling like, you know, I only have myself to depend on. Whether it's through abandonment, whether it's through my friend leaving, dying, which is another sense of abandonment and trauma and everything on top of that. So I can understand getting to this place of where I'm okay with being alone, because that's what, you know, it's the healthy way in order to protect me. If I sit here and I look around and I'm dependent on or expecting mom to be here, dad to be here, best friend to be here, then I'm gonna forever be disappointed. So, you know, I gotta do
is dwelling on it.
So how are you maybe like impacted by those things? Maybe now, are those things that you, as you say, you dwell on or you think about, or are there things that you've, it seems like there's coping mechanisms that you've naturally learned. Mm-hmm. Music as an outlet, knowing that or building up and feeling like, you know, I only have myself to depend on. Whether it's through abandonment, whether it's through my friend leaving, dying, which is another sense of abandonment and trauma and everything on top of that. So I can understand getting to this place of where I'm okay with being alone, because that's what, you know, it's the healthy way in order to protect me. If I sit here and I look around and I'm dependent on or expecting mom to be here, dad to be here, best friend to be here, then I'm gonna forever be disappointed. So, you know, I gotta do, as my favorite saying is, buckle up, buttercup. Favorite saying. my key will go through, you know, the things that we've experienced right. and through our life, but we suppress them, we bury them. What I like to say is we put them in jars. Mm-hmm. Like a little, if you imagine mason jars, put them in a mason jar, tie it real tight. See, and put it up on a shelf.
That's where I'm at. I'm at the untying that jar. Like since I've learned and be so comfortable with myself, mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm able to open about it. Like,
so you're
like
starting to open
years
it
ago, I couldn't talk about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just like now that I've learned and kind of accepted a lot of things, you know, now I'm able to open this jar full of just life that I've been through. So it's like I'm really cool. Like I don't have no problem being myself, but I'm also, you know, like, I don't have no problem being a team player too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm always giving my heart, you know, giving my love. I'm a passionate worker. I'm not a financial worker. So it's like when I do certain things, I do it out of love, but I'll always just learn to never put whatever I got going on to the next person. I never like to transfer energy that way. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I definitely learned to just, be more open to as far
through, you know, the things that we've experienced right. and through our life, but we suppress them, we bury them. What I like to say is we put them in jars, mm-hmm. like a little, if you imagine mason jars, put them in a mason jar, tie it real tight. See, and put it up on a shelf.
That's where I'm at. I'm at the untying that jar. Like since I've learned and be so comfortable with myself, mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm able to open about it. Like,
so you're starting
like
to open
years
it
ago, I couldn't talk about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just like now that I've learned and kind of accepted a lot of things, you know, now I'm able to open this jar full of just life that I've been through. So it's like I'm really cool. Like I don't have no problem being myself, but I'm also, you know, like I don't have no problem being a team player too. Mm-hmm. So you know, I'm always giving my heart, you know, giving my love. I'm a passionate worker. I'm not a financial worker. So it's like when I do certain things, I do it out of love, but I'll always just learn to never put whatever I got going on to the next person. I never like to transfer energy that way. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times I definitely learned to just be more open to as far as like my emotions, because I can't say like, you know, just I may not have those abandonments like
Speaking of, are you married? It's a resume. So y'all want somebody to serenade you? La la la. He's a singer. Y'all want somebody to damn. Us adults, them dance moves. Dance moves, cause y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all be seeing Genuine and all of them. What's his name? Chris Brown and all of them. And
oh yeah.
Songwriter. Videographer. So when y'all trying to make your own.
Yeah, we also got a movie out called Pigs. So we're definitely gonna put that on Amazon Prime soon.
Okay. Out called Pigs on Amazon Prime.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes, yes.
But I'm not finished, you know, with advertising this young, put together, single man, developer, entrepreneur, lifting up the community, and an engineer. So y'all make sure y'all get all up in them DMs. All in. He doesn't seem like he done did some work. That's what y'all be saying. Y'all be out there saying, I need a man that did some work on himself. It's a resume. So y'all want somebody to serenade you? La, la, la. He's a singer. Y'all want somebody to... Damn. Us adults, them dance moves. Dance moves, cause y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all be seeing Genuine. And all of them, what's his name? Chris Brown and all of them. And
oh yeah.
Songwriter. Videographer. So when y'all trying to make your own.
Yeah, we also got a movie out called Pigs. So we're definitely gonna put that on Amazon Prime soon.
Okay. Out called Pigs on Amazon Prime.
Yes, sir, yes, yes, yes.
But I'm not finished, you know, with advertising this young, put together, single man, developer, entrepreneur, lifting up the community, and an engineer. So y'all make sure y'all get all up in them DMs. All in, He doesn't seem like he done did some work. That's what y'all be saying. Y'all be out there saying, I need a man that did some work on himself. This young man, he's like, he done, you know, he done been through some stuff, but he done did some work on himself as well.
Most certainly. I mean, I'm preparing myself for, you know, to even on a relationship status to where I don't bring that type of chaos to the relationship. I mean, so it's like, yeah, I might tell you what I got going on or this is what's happening, but it's like, I don't want to bring the chaos to where you have to question if this is something that's hard today on relationships that I've had. A lot of them haven't really learned themselves yet, so they a lot of times they don't know what they want exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can give them whatever they want, then they might want something else the next day, and so it's like, this is really what you wanted yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can definitely say it's only hard to be vulnerable with somebody who doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you don't care, how can I sit here, you know, being the big heart person that I am? You know, I can sit here and give you a lot, but it's like, if it's not appreciated, and that's like, I just did all that for nothing. And I don't want to be in that state, and I definitely don't want not only waste my time, but to feel as if your time being wasted, because maybe it just isn't what you wanted in the first place. So, it's a lot to go. And this with this generation? Oh yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of this generation.
We can get into a whole lot, a whole lot with, you know, all of that vulnerability. And even not just even in your generation or this generation, but as a, you know, as a whole, how it plays to all of us in, you know, in relationships. That is one of the most hardest things in the struggles is being vulnerable. Especially because what I say is that when you're in a relationship, it's two different people from two different backgrounds.
Big hard person that I am. You know, I can sit here and give you a lot, but it's like, if it's not appreciated, and that's like, I just did all that for nothing. And I don't want to be in that state, and I definitely don't want not only waste my time, but to feel as if your time being wasted, because maybe it just isn't what you wanted in the first place. So, it's a lot to go. And this with this generation? Oh yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot with this generation.
We can get into a whole lot, a whole lot with, you know, all of that vulnerability. And even not just even in your generation or this generation, but as a, you know, as a whole, how it plays to all of us in, you know, in relationships. That is one of the most hardest things in the struggles is being vulnerable. Especially because what I say is that when you're in a relationship, it's two different people from two different backgrounds, two different upbringings. What I often ask my clients, especially couples or those who are having, you know, relational problems, is the first thing I ask them is, are you two siblings? They look at me like, I know this is Georgia, but, and I say, yeah, we're not talking about real Georgia. But are you two? No, we're not siblings. Were y'all raised in the same home? Were you adopted? Were you raised? No. So what that means is that you two are coming from two totally different backgrounds, two totally different beliefs, two totally different morals, values, and you're trying to bring them in and merge them together. And it's hard in that being vulnerable. We say we want the love and we want the trust and everything like that. But if something triggers, something you do triggers something in me from my childhood that I may have told you about, but you don't know how it's impacted me. Now, maybe I'm not going to be as vulnerable to you. Maybe I'm going to be dishonest to you about something. Friend upbringings. What I often ask my clients, especially couples or those who are having, you know, relational problems, is the first thing I ask them is, are you two siblings? They look at me like, I know this is Georgia, but, and I say, yeah, we're not talking about real Georgia, but are you two? No, we're not siblings. Were y'all raised in the same home? Were you adopted? Were you raised? No. So what that means is that you two are coming from two totally different backgrounds, two totally different beliefs, two totally different morals, values, and you're trying to bring them in and merge them together. And it's hard in that being vulnerable. We say we want the love and we want the trust and everything like that. But if something triggers, something you do triggers something in me from my childhood that I may have told you about, but you don't know how it's impacted me. Now, maybe I'm not going to be as vulnerable to you. Maybe I'm going to be dishonest to you about something. And you're looking at me like, well, you know, now the relationship is messed up because you lied and it's ruined and because of trust and vulnerability. And I'm looking at it in a whole different state. Or just like with you, your background, your things that you may be different as a person who was born with two American parents and having one who is born, you know, from the country, from the continent, as in, oh my goodness, we can get into all of that. Shout out to Mom and the sacrifices. And so there's so much and so much debt, but I am so glad to hear and see how successful you are, how you have, despite all, you are an example of overcoming through that. Whether it's through getting assistance through therapy and through someone else, or through, and I'm looking at it in a whole different state, or just like with you, your background, your things that you may be different as a person who was born with two American parents and having one who is born, you know, from the country, from the continent, as in, oh my goodness, we can get into all of that. Shout out to Mom and the sacrifices. And so there's so much and so much debt, but I am so glad to hear and see how successful you are, how you have, despite all, you are an example of overcoming through that. Whether it's through getting assistance through therapy and through someone else, or through doing the work just on your own and investing in that. So many of us don't take the time to really even do that. There's always been a huge stigmatization with mental health in communities of color. And we're trying to break that, you know, those barriers. And that's one thing that we're doing here with Dr. O After Dark, is normalizing mental health. We know that therapy is not for everybody. The important thing is, but are you gonna do the work? Are you looking at and saying, yeah, it was traumatic to have my 8-year-old friend die for me? I can't even imagine. It was traumatic finding my mom was in prison. It's traumatic having my dad not being there. But yet and still, this is my resume. And yes, I have 12 siblings and they may have turned out differently. There's always been a huge stigmatization with mental health in communities of color. And we're trying to break that, you know, those barriers. And that's one thing that we're doing here with Dr. O After Dark, is normalizing mental health. We know that therapy is not for everybody. The important thing is, but are you gonna do the work? Are you looking at and saying, yeah, it was traumatic to have my 8-year-old friend die for me? I can't even imagine. It was traumatic finding my mom was in prison. It's traumatic having my dad not being there. But yet and still, this is my resume. And yes, I have 12 siblings and they may have turned out differently. And so it can see how these different things impact people in different ways. Just, I mean, we can do a whole case study on your 12 siblings and just the impact of everything and how it looks and so on and so forth, and with how it looks when somebody actually is doing the work. So what I want you guys to learn here today and take away from my boy Tashawn is do the work. There's nothing too hard that you cannot do the work. And if you can't do it on your own, then I'm here. Plenty of other therapists, friends. People always say, check on your strong friend. But I tell you, check on your weak ones too. Check on everybody. Because that little comment, that little phone call, that little text can mean a whole lot to someone who is going through. So thank you so much, Tashawn. You can see how these different things impact people in different ways. Just, I mean, we can do a whole case study on your 12 siblings and just the impact of everything and how it looks and so on and so forth, and with how it looks when somebody actually is doing the work. So what I want you guys to learn here today and take away from my boy Tashawn is do the work. There's nothing too hard that you cannot do the work. And if you can't do it on your own, then I'm here. Plenty of other therapists, friends. People always say, check on your strong friend. But I tell you, check on your weak ones too. Check on everybody. Because that little comment, that little phone call, that little text can mean a whole lot to someone who is going through. So thank you so much, Tashawn. Please give us your information so that all the single ladies. Now, I'm vetting them. And y'all in the DM, then you got to come through me. You already know. You gotta come through me first, because we ain't with no nonsense. But where can we find you at?
Well, you can find me everywhere, including the music, at Tashawn Music. It's Tashawn with a W, music without the Q. Okay. So I'm gonna say it again. It's Tashawn Music. Tashawn Music.
So y'all make sure y'all hit him up on all social media platforms. Google him, support him, go to his studios in Dallas,
Santa Monica.
Okay. And Northern Cal, Santa Monica.
And on the south side of Atlanta.
And south side of the ATL. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
again,
so much.
Tashawn. It has been a pleasure.
It's been a blessing.
This is it for Doc. Please give us your information so that all the single ladies. Now, I'm vetting them. And y'all in the DM, then you gotta come through me. You already know. You gotta come through me first, because we ain't with no nonsense. But where can we find you at?
Well, you can find me everywhere, including the music, at Tashawn Music. It's Tashawn with a W, music without the Q, okay? So I'm gonna say it again. It's Tashawn Music, Tashawn Music.
So y'all make sure y'all hit him up on all social media platforms. Google him, support him, go to his studios in Dallas,
Santa Monica,
okay.
And
Northern Cal, Santa Monica.
And on the south side of Atlanta.
And south side of the ATL. All right. Thank you so much
Tashawn.
It has been a pleasure.
It's been a blessing.
This is it for Dr. O After Dark.